That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
To the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live. Happy July. Welcome to July. All right, how's that? A little better? How's that? One, two, three. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Yeah, let me look at the meter here. And the gain is all but pegged. There we go. Anyway, so... And we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. And Jason, good morning. Heard from you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Who else we got? Zach, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we welcome you this morning as well. Sea to shining sea. We've got the phone lines open. We'll be glad to take your call. Jason, would you open us up in prayer first thing?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go, that you continue to be with your people. And Father, we just continue to pray for an awakening across this land and for people to turn back to you and to seek you first and foremost in their lives. We ask, Father, that you can just continue to protect your people from the diabolical plans of the enemy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Well, I've got a couple things here. Anybody have something they want to lead off with this morning?
If you don't like fighting, this probably ain't the life for you living for God. Because you're going to battle, whether the battle's in your head or battles at work or whatever's going on. You know, it is harder to swim upstream than it is to flow down the river with the rest of the debris. But, you know, we're instructed to take that hard road. God wants us to be there with him. This is our job. It's what he put us here for, is to do his work and to further the kingdom. And it's not going to be easy. You know, every day you're going to fight and you're going to have sacrifices and you're going to lose and have setbacks. And, you know, that's part of it. But, you know, you can't appreciate the highs without the lows. And it really is a beautiful path to walk or jog or have to scale a vertical cliff on. You know, and I was just thinking about that this morning. It's not easy, and you got we all tend to want to take the easy road, and because it is easier. That's pretty simple, right? Basic. You want to do something easy, you want to do something hard. Well, let's do the easy. Well, but the hard is better for you in the long run. It might stink today because you might have blisters or, you know, might get injured, but it's better for you.
Well, and so many people out there, they want to do things easy. And if you tell them to do this or that, or, well, that takes some work, or that takes a lot of work, or why don't we just do it this way? And you know, we've got societies that is largely built upon, you know, those principles. And people aren't taught to work hard anymore. They're not taught to do things the hard way. They're taught to do the things the easy way. And we've got a mentality, and it's not just the young people. It's the older people, and it's the generation that's older than us too that is just caught up in that.
But if you've never worked hard all day, you know, whether it be throwing hay or doing whatever, you don't know how good it feels to lay your head on that pillow at night and that rest and that comfort. I mean, it just feels amazing when you're just freaking wasted, you know, as far as you have given all you've got to the day. And when you lay down, it feels so good, and you think back about what you got accomplished for the day. It's an amazing feeling.
2 points on that. One, Josh, on your statement about working harder all day, there's really, when you're out there physically working, like, personally, I like doing a job that actually physically wears me out and almost hurts me to a little bit, because I understand exactly what you're saying about when you do lay your head down on that pillow. It is awesome. And I agree with you 100%. And I actually might be one of those kind of guys that might take it a little bit farther. I don't know if that's smart or whatever, but that's a good point. The other point I wanted to bring up, what you guys were talking about in the little bit earlier, this is where our faith comes in. And I believe that our faith is acting on what we believe, how we operate. Jesus said, you know, our faith is going to overcome the world. That means we're going to be doing something. So like the notion that, you know, Jesus is going to come back and, like, you know, fix everything. He's going to straighten everything out. Well, you know, there might be a little bit of truth on that, but our faith, our actions need to be the catalyst for that action to happen. So like, we're not just, you know, I know a lot of people sit there and think, well, we just got to sit back and just, you know, we're going to wait. It's going to get so bad, we're going to wait. And, you know, Jesus is going to come back and straighten all this out. No, it's our faith. We have to want it. We have to like, be acting on what we believe. Well, what do we believe? We believe in God's law. We believe in Jesus' true identity. You know, we believe that if we do this, the outcome is going to be a better future for our children and our grandchildren. So what we're talking about is strengthening our faith, our belief system. And that's what this ministry is. Like, this is why we're here. This is why we meet every Sunday morning. This is why we meet every Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers, because we are encouraging the saints. because we want to strengthen their belief system so that way their actions throughout the week enhance and invite the kingdom of God to enter. I don't know if any of that makes any sense, but, you know, this is our time that our faith needs to be the strongest. So not necessarily, like, not just giving lip service, our actions need to be, you know, and whatever we do, being honest, like, just, you guys know what I'm talking about, but these are exciting times, and we see people are making moves. You come to this county here that I live in, and that new county board is making waves because they're tired of what they're seeing. They're tired of the corruption. They're tired of wickedness prospering. Now, they might not know everything that we know, but it's coming. So don't let the boat go by you.
But Brother Zach, the battle is the Lord's. We shouldn't have to fight.
Well, we are the body of Christ here on earth. We are the body of Christ here on earth. So that puts some responsibility in somebody's lap.
Yeah, when we repent nationally, God will fight our battles. And I've been reading Colonel Moore's books again, and when we repent nationally, he will fight our battles. I mean, that is a true thing. But we, you know, we got to stand in the gap, you know. And when you see these freaks of nature, which they're very difficult, we shouldn't look down at them too bad, because they are so lost, and they're actually screaming for help. Or they're, if they're the devil's children, they're no help. But I've seen these people too. You got to look them in the eye and talk to them. You ask them, and you know, you never know, because these people are so lost, and we can't be so arrogant and proud that we can't talk to them. But it is an uphill battle for sure. But I know I've seen these people too. Man, you feel like walking away, but that's just what everybody's doing. They're driving most people away, and they're kind of begging for help, I think, down deep.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, they're lost and just don't know it. Those words in Revelation, you know, come back to mind when you know.
You ever been lost and know it?
That they're lost and don't know it. Yeah, that you think you're great. You think you're fine.
Who's lost was dear husband, and I knew it.
Yeah, exactly. And I know a lot of people that have been in the same boat.
Yeah, and
I agree with what you said, Zach. Though it makes a lot of sense, and we gotta be that catalyst. We gotta stand in the gap, and like what Josh was saying, that's hard work. We gotta work hard at it. We gotta work hard at you know, being those men that do stand in the gap. You know, stand in the gap for our wives, our children, our families, other families. And, you know, continue to, you know, fight the good fight of faith.
You know, and you got to watch that arrogance, because these people, just like Paul just said, they're, you know, the world is hurting. And God has planted the seed in us years and years ago, and he has been pruning us and working on us. And we still ain't that great, truthfully, not. And, you know, and so that's the thing. You better be humble. You know, yep. Whenever you are talking about anything, anytime you say they or them or, you know, people or whatever, God's put a lot into us, and we're not that great, but yet we're supposed to be those Davids that are out there leading his people. The bar is real high. I know, for as much as God has put into me and for me not to be any better than what I am, it's a humbling thought, and I try to watch my thoughts in my mouth so that I don't put myself in some better position than somebody else in my mind, in my heart. So I try to make sure that I keep myself where I need to be, because even just talking, you know, it can come across wrong if you are removing yourself from the situation. And so as far as a measuring stick, I try to remember every day that God put a lot into me, and he ain't had that great a return on investment. So I want to stay humble and try to keep on making me better so that I can help everybody else. Because he did. He chose us to be those leaders. And so we can't just be average. we, his remnant, have got to be better so that we can help everybody else.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think, like you said, I like your return on investment in the that's a good way of putting it.
It's kind of a gut punch, really, because I feel exactly the same way. Because you're right, Josh. Like, what kind of investment has God, what kind of return has He gotten on us, and on me? I could do better. I could always do better. And, I sit back and I look back at some of the things and how I handle certain situations. And, I look and I could have handled that better. I could have a better representative for the name that I took on. And, there's always room for improvement. So, it is definitely something to think about.
Yeah, something to think about and something to act upon, too.
For sure.
One thing to think about, another thing to act upon it and do, and that's what, a lot of people, and you hear a lot of people, oh, I'm going to think about that, or I'm going to think about that, or, you're right, but it's the actions is what makes the difference.
It's probably
a lot of, you act upon what you know. People say, this is what the word says. This is what the Bible says. This is what, okay, yeah, I know what it says. Now, why don't you act upon it? Why don't you practice it? That's what the problem was, what we have in the churches and all across America.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a neighbor lady that, heard somebody's preaching her to her, giving Bible verses, stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, that's a real turnoff to some people because they don't know the Bible. They ain't got a clue where you're coming from. When you start throwing them verses at you, think they're just going to respond to it. They don't. And a lot of times it's an act of actually turns them off when you do that. They watching you, people watch you all the time and how you do business, how you do everything. That's the number one thing. And like you said, Jason, it is actions. Do what you believe. Be there for somebody. There's people to help all over. And sometimes it takes a little effort to get your hands dirty.
There's this old man down that lives down the road not too far from here. And, as far as he goes around and he always goes to a lot of churches. And, he gets their stuff, and he's, every time you see him, he's talking, saying, God bless you and blessings to you and this and that, and wanting to pray with people. And he is the most crooked SOB that there is in the whole area. And everybody knows not to do business with him because he'll rip you off every chance he gets. You don't want to work for him. And the list goes on and on and on. And, it's, in my opinion, he's done more stuff. There's more people that are turned off of Christianity because of him than people that are for him because because of his actions. I mean, in his actions is, people, and he portrays himself as being a good Christian and God throwing all this stuff out. And it's just, there's people that don't want to have anything to do with Christianity because they're like, if that's what a Christian is, then I don't want to be one. Because there's a law written on their heart, and it's right and wrong. It's, do unto others. It's, do not steal. It's, do not give false witness. I mean, it's, you know what I mean?
Do.
Zach, I know you've
absolutely
been trying to talk for a minute.
Well, now the conversation's turned a little bit, and now I can't remember what I was going to say. But yeah, because like what Jason was saying, like those people that sit there and like they want to have that Christian reputation out in the beginning of a relationship, whatever. Like my spidey sense, my radar is on full blast with somebody like that because I do not trust them as far as I throw them. I can't take that because they give Christianity a bad name. It's just like when a while back I did a lesson about what the catalyst was for Israel falling away to do that they wanted a king. And it was because of the prophets that were governing Israel we're using the law and the name of God improperly. And what did it do? It turned everybody off. It took all their faith and their belief. It removed it from the system because people were using it to their advantage. They were using it to their gain, and they didn't give a rip about anybody else. So we cannot use Christianity in that matter or in that fashion. And because I'm not here, I don't do what I do to manipulate people and to make moves for my advantage. I don't want to scare them into doing anything. I don't like that tactic. But the thing of it is, like, the Bible is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And if you believe in him and you identify him properly, he will set you free. Well, what is that? Well, that's freedom. Those are all positive things. Are you scared to do stuff? No. Jesus gave us a system to believe in that is foolproof if we use it right. Because if we have that freedom, we have responsibility. And you better use it right. Because if you don't, the generations to come are the ones that pay.
I've met quite a few people in my day that said, if he's a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. And in our religion today, if you take these mega churches and anybody's thinking, it just flat turns them off. My dad said to me, if a man tells me he's a Christian, he said, I don't trust him. And then that's absolutely true. Show me. Don't tell me. You know, and you can meet people, you know, meet people on their terms. Help them. Give them whatever, maybe a little financial help or whatever it takes to demonstrate that you're not like the rest of the world. But, you know, this throwing verses at people, I know. This lady said something about, because I know who she was telling her, you know, these Bible verses at, and it just flat turned her off, you know. But she's a good-hearted person, but she just turned off by that stuff, and it does. Now, you can show them in the scripture if you get to know them after a while, and, you know, and another thing, too, if you look at people, you'll never get somewhere. I got to where I'm at by not looking at people. In fact, I was quite disappointed in a lot of them, but I kept looking at the scripture, and if you put your faith in God, that'll take you through it. And the Bible says, curses a man that trusteth in man. So you take everybody, even me, with a grain of salt to some degree. That's just the way it is. It's you and God. It's not, and people, most people could lead you astray or help you. One never knows.
Well, we have to, when we encounter people, like we have, like, especially if we're really trying to help them, and like this is what was brought up earlier, like, you know, about these, what we were talking before the show about how people are dressing and, you know, their appearances and stuff. And it's, we really need to try to look at things through other people's point of view. Now, I'm not saying you have to agree with it, but, you know, you need to understand where people are coming from. And, so if they're coming from, you know, a distorted view of what Christianity actually is, because all, like, a little bit of leaven goes through the whole loaf. So a couple of guys can screw everything up for everybody. So it's actually a very touchy situation. And it goes back to, you know, it goes back to the second commandment. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. And that means you want everything for your neighbor that you get. And if you're just a self-centered sucker, then, you know, I kind of pity you. Because in the end, most people will hate you. If you just think about yourself, you're not fooling anybody. You are not fooling anybody. And people can sniff you out a mile away. So, you know, just we need to look at people's point of view and take that into consideration and address things accordingly. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's just, and it's really an art, and it's a lot of wisdom to be able to pull that kind of stuff off.
Well, but and there are different layers and levels, and we are to love each other. And, you know, I think you're talking, we're having that conversation and talking about those people. Like that hurt me to hear the description of where they were at, because I do love my neighbors. I love my brother. And we know that we're supposed to love them and we're supposed to do for them. But, you know, we've also had a conversation of how science and reason backs up everything that the Bible says. All right. And so, normally, if you look at it as a system, if you do well for someone else, eventually it will be better for you to have done well for them. You know, God has everything set up for a reason. You know, his laws, they all work in harmony and synchrony. And it is better for us to do well by people than not to.
Yes.
And that's not the catalyst. That's not why you do things. But you can rest assured that if you do what he says, you will be better off for it in the long run. That is the science, the math, the reason, the logic behind it. But the reason you do it is because he said so, and because you seek to be obedient, because you know that the Father has our best interest at heart. And whenever we listen to him, there are so many things that are outside of our ability to understand, that it's just, he wants us to be obedient to him and to listen to him and for him to be able to take care of us.
Well, you said something too, that we got to meet people where they're at, not where we're at. You know, we want to go through all, you know, come to that, you know, named Colonel Moore in the book I just read too. He said that people want to convert them to identity and who they are, but we should worry about, the more basics, conversion and stuff like that, and then lead them to, you know, that they're the children of God. But, you know, he said something in that book that was, and it really hit me because, yeah, we want to show them who we are, you know. But the thing of it is, you got to meet them where they're at, not where you're at. So, and you take how Jesus dealt with people. He'd ask questions a lot. You know, he tipped over money table. We got on a few people, but anybody that was hurting, he was very tender with them.
And when you get down to it, Paul.
Well, if you're asking questions like you did, which was the way that he taught, that is all about the other person. It's not about you sitting here on a throne of authority and preaching, thou shalt so and so. No, it's asking them, okay, well, what you got going on? All right, well, what's causing that? And working down to the root. That approach is completely about the other person, not about you.
That's what I was going to say too, Josh, is like, I agree. It's, you know, asking questions. Sometimes you get people, you got to get people to open up and talk, and you got to find out where they're at so that, you know, you can help them with a solution. And, like Paul's told us for a long time, it's like, you don't try to give them too much at one time. A person will absorb so much, and then when they're done, they're done. And you got to be able to read that and be able to stop and, you know, I gave him enough. Otherwise, it's just going to cause him confusion, and it's going to go nowhere.
And that's really that's really easy to understand, because when he changes the subject, immediately change the subject with him, because he just went into mental overload.
Yep.
And so we pray about what to talk about on here, and the reason this topic was relevant to me, and felt like, without knowing it, God's putting it on my heart, because I've been fighting a bunch lately and not always winning. And you do, you get tired of fighting, you know, you get weary. But then, you know, God lets you look at a picture of your children on your phone and that be the spark of, hey, you know, this is why we're doing it, and it's worth it. And, you know, he's never failed whenever I was low to, give me something, some thought or some whatever to pick me back up and to help me to push on and to continue trying to do. And it's hard. You know, it's hard to fight all the time. And, you know, to people out there that are on the other side of this conversation listening to us, you know, we go through the same exact things that you do. And thankfully, I got a couple of brothers that I can call and talk and bounce stuff off of, and, you know, but you don't even have to have that. I mean, we've got God, we got his word, and that's really all we need, because back to where, you know, what Paul said, you
really shouldn't be trusting anybody 100%. You know, we need to be weighing everything by the word and using that as our measuring stick. And, you know, going in that direction, trying to be lining up with his will. Yeah.
I think the bottom line of this is humility. We have to be humble, you know, and don't and judge not, you know. And we got, like I said, we talked last week about we have to make judgments all the time. But I've said a couple people, I said, well, let God handle that, you know. You know, a final judgment on people. We don't have to make that. It appears to me that they might be right, but I don't know. That's God's job to make the final decision. And we don't have to. And I think that's what judge not means to me, because we have to make judgments over there to dust our feet or keep talking to someone. You know, there's always times to me that we have judgments we have to make every day. But I think that judgment is the final judgment, is that that's God's hand. The vengeance is his. He'll take care of it. I'll set it straight. You know, someone wanted to exhume Pastor Peter's body and find out if he was drugged or whatever like that. I said, no, God will handle it. Just let it handle. It's done now. So that's my take on it. I could be wrong.
Well, and I think that, too, we don't need to underestimate the power of prayer, too. And when you're talking with somebody or when you're working with somebody, you're trying to convert somebody or something like that, I mean, keep them lifted up in prayer, too. And I think that really goes a long ways. You know, pray that you have the right words to speak to them when you're witnessing to them, and pray that God moves in their lives and touches them, and that they're at that, like Christ prayed, that they be not sifted.
And to that point, you know, it don't take a lot of words to make a good prayer. You know, we pray that what the Lord God shows what to pray, and you know, it. Just because you pray a longer or fancier prayer or whatever, that doesn't make it any better.
Yeah, I think of the scripture, they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I've heard some really elaborate prayers from people that really didn't care for them a whole lot.
Well, if you notice, my prayers are real short, because the Bible says, listen much and speak little. And we try to think we can reason our God or lead him in a direction. Well, it's actually the opposite way around. He's leading us, and we don't need, it don't take a lot of words. That's what I love about Proverbs. One line, something to think about all day.
Yeah, I agree. Has anybody seen any of this stuff that's been going over on over in France?
Some big riots going on the last couple of days, I guess.
Riots and burning.
Yeah.
I don't know what the basis of it is.
Attacking off-duty.
Yeah, it's based on, well, they're saying it's racism, but it's, I know that as of last night, or I guess it would be earlier today, I think it was still the first, but 45,000 police and military that were dispatched to make arrests. I mean, and I was just trying to comprehend, you know, 45,000. I must have misread it wrong, and I thought it had to have been 4,500. And I went and checked several places, and every place said 45,000. I mean, that's an army. That's more than some countries have in their whole military force. That's the town. I'm thinking of. I live close to a town that's got 45,000 people in it, and that's a big town. I mean, that would be everybody in the town. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. 45,000 police head out. I guess just earlier today they had over 15,000 arrested, and burning vehicles, tearing stuff out, just destroying stuff, and you know, it was basically, I think it was about 10 years ago that they started letting all these migrants in, as, you know, it was they were kind of woke before we were woke, in the United States, so to speak. And, they started letting all these, refugees and stuff in there, bringing them in, cause it was the good, the humane thing to do. And, usually that's what happens about 10 years later. They grow up and they multiply, and you get riots. And they were saying police brutality. I guess it was stemmed after somebody got shot by one of the police officers. And then they're saying that there's always been a problem with the police officers, and their solution is just to burn everything to the ground. So I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know if anybody else had any more information on that or not.
Well, it's anarchy. It's total anarchy. It's not far away here. You know, I don't think burning down helps anything, but, that's just a structure. And they could have people planted there just leading them in that direction, too. You know, that happens all the time.
Well, and they could, and they have you get that many people out there. I mean, some of the pictures were just, it was just shoulder to shoulder for what looked like miles. I mean, it didn't look like there was any open space. I mean, that many people out there in a mob, they could destroy that town in no time at all.
I was sitting here thinking about numbers, and if you had like a 5-to-1 police presence, people to one police presence, that'd be a heavy, heavy presence, which would put it like a quarter million
people.
Right, in that group. And like, that would be just insanely, you know, most sporting events, you got hundreds and hundreds of people to one, you know, of normal things. And so that's a huge group of people. It was the first thing that hit me, that they are trying to police.
Yeah.
And because it's different cultures, and it, like you said, Jason, it's they happen to try to keep law and order. And with certain cultures, especially the culture that's invaded France, there is no law and order. It's anarchy. It's chaos, like was mentioned. And we do see it here. We had a full summer of it just a couple of years ago, and that's all it takes is a George Floyd or some other spark, and there's I think many cities that are just ready to rip open again. Minneapolis, Chicago, the crime and the lawlessness that just abounds. Denver. It's many of these cities are right on the brink right here, and not just over in France.
I talked to a state cop a few years ago, and I asked him if he liked his job. He says, "Well, it's not as good as it used to be." He says, "But he says absolutely nobody has respect for the law anymore." And then we talked a little about internally the state police. There's internal problems too. He says, what the real deal is, nobody wants to get there. They want to get into management, get off the street. And he says, yeah, that's right. But it's they got their problems too. But there's some good people in there that I used to hate cops, but no, they're not the problem. They're the people are the problem. They're the brickbat of society. You got two forces going up in direction, and it's going to get hot at some point. It's an ugly job. It's a thankless job. So, if you have no respect, but that started in the church. When you have no respect for God's law, you ain't got no respect for nobody.
Yeah.
Well, also at home, we teach our children, in our kingdom, who's the one that's in charge, and teach them obedience. And then, you follow up with the wife. But first, it is that, you do this because I told you to, and I'm your father, and that's what you're going to do. And then if we want it to stick and be able to understand and be able to apply that knowledge, then, yeah, you got to go further than the I told you so and teach them the why behind it. But same thing with us and God. Sometimes he just tells you, I told you so, and you got to do it. And then later on, a lot of the times he lets us see, but sometimes we don't ever find out, But when he tells you, you just do.
Yeah. Well, when I pulled my kids out of a so-called Christian school, you go out on your own and you think you're going to teach them right. But I tell you what, you get absolutely no support from so- society, church or otherwise, they'd think you're crazy, you know, going against the grain. And my point is, you get very little outside support to raise your family right. So, you know, you got to put it in their head, and then they'll come back to it. But a little outside support really helps.
It was stated earlier, we were talking about, I don't remember the exact words, but we were talking about how people were and describing the different people and the groups of people, and, you know, that, you know, something to the effect that we're in bad shape. And if you look at it, we are in a land of opportunity, because, Paul, as you said, those ones with the tattooed up faces in the barbs, and a lot of those are crying out for help. They're not happy. They're looking for the truth and the way. And so we have got more opportunity in our generation than any other generation recently has had, because we are further away from God. But you know what? We know Him, and He has equipped us to be able to do His work. And I'm just sitting there thinking, listening to you talk, Paul, because I really do respect you and appreciate, you know, the things that you've got, because you've taken years, a lifetime of years of taking these little bitty nuggets and stitching them all together to put a where you're at right now. And I was thinking about the ability for you, these lessons that have taken you 60 years to learn, you can take and hand those to somebody in a short period of time, and if they'll receive and if they'll look at the word and see, they can learn everything you've got in a month's time or 6 months' time, if, you know, if they're willing to do that. And so therefore, you know, people can come around and they can change in a quick amount of time. That's the whole 11th hour message, you know. What is taking you a lifetime to put together, if you're willing to, you can freely give to somebody else, and they can be where you're at and getting better.
And I think, too, we're finally getting a captive audience. I've said, you know, I've got to the point I've got tired of talking about it, you know, but all of a sudden, you know, some of the stuff you sold back then is coming to life. So we can't give up. We got to look up all every day, and we can't look at people, and we got to know who we are. Even if nobody else does go with us. So that's the road I've been down, and it was a good road. Was it fun? Not always, but I sure like where I'm at today.
Yeah, and I like how you put that, Zach. We do, and it's been mentioned, we've got a greater opportunity today, I think, with the problems that are in the world, with the evil, with the government doing what they're doing, with the attacks on our children, on the school system, on all of that we do. We've got more opportunity than ever before to be there for people. I like how I like how you put it, Zach, that it's our actions. We have opportunity to act out that loving our neighbor as ourself. And yeah, it's not in just quoting scripture, but it's in doing what that word tells us to do. And we have more opportunity than ever before. Phone lines ringing. We're going to try that. But phone lines are open, folks. We've got a few minutes left in the program. 307-745-5913.
I had to cut out there a little bit, but one of the things that we were talking about where we live, this is the land of opportunity, and that's very true. And people can sit there and complain about how things are, and like, oh, this is, you know, this way, and gripe about all the problems and never come up with a solution, just point out a problem and then turn around and walk away. You know, I found that, you know, since I've been on my little adventure the last few years, every situation you come up with, there's going to be a roadblock. And it is your job and your duty to figure out how to navigate that. And when you figure out how to navigate it, it's not a roadblock again. You can just you know how to handle certain situations. You know what somebody's asking you. You know, in reality, what I've learned is because I was uneducated about certain things. Now I have somebody ask me stuff. Yeah, no problem. I can throw that in a PDF and boom, problem solved. Which 2 years ago would have been a huge issue. But we are in the land of opportunity, and if everyone wants to sit there and complain, then, you know, you kind of deserve to fail. You know, everything we're talking about is like our faith, our action. Get up, get moving, take this land back. Like, this is our land. This is our inheritance. It belongs to us. You know, hang on to it. Make it prosper. Upgrade equipment. If you're not doing stuff like that, then you really don't, you know, you really don't have, like, just, you know, you don't have any room to talk. So get up and get going. And this land gives you an opportunity to be the best that you can be.
Right.
Because it was given to us by the God of Israel. And so, yeah. This is still a great country. There's a lot of problems, but they can be fixed.
Amen. Guys, let's try the phone line this morning real quick. Good morning. Got time for a quick call.
Good morning, brothers. This is Terry from Warrensburg.
Good morning, Terry.
I want to thank you for the prayers. I had a good sleep last night, except for I had to get up every hour to urinate. Like I think I might have had a large prostate, so I got to work on that. But I had, you know, not as much pain, and this morning I'm able to stretch out and enjoying the program. That thing about France was on True News last night. They showed all the different areas around France country there where they had riots on there.
Well, appreciate it, Terry. Thanks for letting us know. And, yeah, we'll sure have to keep an eye on that. And glad you're feeling better.
Well, thank you for the prayers. Yesterday I was able to stand up. It's hard to walk. So, you know, that's what I got to do. I'm getting through physical therapy now. I don't do my own physical therapy. I don't need to go to the hospital and walk up and down this thing here. That's what I know. I don't believe in doctors. I don't believe in anybody but Christ. Christ is my healer, and he always will be. And he has so much pain. Most people wouldn't be able to go through the pain I suffered this year. In fact. And after that, a bike accident, I think that's what brought it all on. The main thing, I think, what is bringing this on, I ran on my supplements I get from the Power Mall, and I got some of those coming with my vitamins and different products. So that didn't help me, I wasn't eating the fresh greens and everything and wasn't able to tend my garden.
All right, Terry. Well, thank you, brother. Thanks for the call and the update. Have a great weekend. Amen. Amen. All right, brother. God bless. All right. Thank you, brother. You as well. God bless. Well, guys, wrapping up the morning. Any closing comments here this morning for the remnant? It is.
I got one.
Go ahead.
I had a song they taught me when I was a little kid in Sunday school that just had never left me. Dare to be a Daniel, dare stand alone. I think of that all the time to this day. You got to be willing to stand alone at times.
Well, and, you know, you saying 4th of July, Richard, when you think about the fact that how many times has our country been fought for? And, you know, from the beginning into now. And so it's no different for us. We got to fight to keep our Christian way of life and our freedom and our ability to be able to raise our children to be Christians. And we do still live in the best country in the world. I'm thankful to be here. And But it does take a certain amount of work and a certain amount of fight. And we just need to get up every morning and strap our boots on and work hard and do what we need to do. Look to God for the path and the answers.
Agreed.
Amen.
Amen.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
So we, I've been thinking a lot about that threat, not because of evildoers, and Jason, you and I, we say that to each other regularly, but I was actually looking at the definition to fret, and to fret is to gnaw or to grate, to rub away, to wear, and so, you know, don't let yourself be wore down because of evildoers. And actually, you should look it up, Webster's 1828. That's the longest definition of that I've seen, you know, a lot of work. For such a small word, it's got a lot of definition, a lot of meaning to it. And it's important that we apply that
every day in our lives, is not to fret, not to get wore down, not to worry, but to press on. Have your glass half full for sure.
Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, guys,
that is for sure. And I know that that's one of the things that even just, I mean, just knowing that and understanding it, trying to practice it still, I mean, it's, you know, you catch yourself, just letting stuff grate on you, letting stuff eat at you, letting stuff making you lose sleep. And, you know, it's, I found myself, you know, just praying, Lord, help me not to fret over this, or, you know, asking for assistance. But, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, realizing, half the battle is realizing that you're doing it. And, you know, once you realize that you're doing it, it's a lot easier to stop. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
One the other day, Zach and I were having a conversation. We were talking about, you know, fretting and talking about, and I was telling him I was just, you know, angry. It just makes me angry for this and that. And then I think it was the next morning on the way to work, I was listening to a sermon by Pastor Peters, and he was talking about, you know, not letting them keep us angry. And just an awesome message that was, you know, no coincidence. And he was, you know, God was talking to me through him. And that is, you know, part of that is fretting. It's not just, the fret's not just worry. There are a lot of different applications to that word.
Amen. Well, guys, thanks. We're out of time, guys. Thanks for joining us. Sure appreciate it. Hope you guys have a blessed weekend. And Remnant, we hope you can join us at church tomorrow. We are planning on, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll be there starting at 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. We hope you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Thanks for tuning in this morning, and Remnant, we pray for you. We hope you pray for us as well. God bless.
Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake.